as always. It's so good to be with you. How are we doing, church? What a beautiful day, isn't it? Gosh, it's gorgeous. On today's gospel, very interesting reading. The thing that really fascinates me about this reading is that it explores the why question of life. The why question of life. Why do things happen the way things happen? Have you ever thought about that? Well, of course you have. Everybody in here has, and particularly in recent years, especially when it's why do bad things happen to good people. That's when you really think about it, don't you? So I guess you might say just why is making sense out of why. Why is that so important? Well, it's a simple answer, really. Why do we want to know? Why do we want to know? Why do we need to make sense out of the why question? Here's why. Because we want to believe we can trust God in hard times. We want to know that God has our back covered, even more fundamentally, that God exists. See, if you look at things today just from outward appearance, sort of like what Samuel was doing, looking at all these sons from their, you know, their appearance. Well, the Pharisees were doing the same thing. They were looking at this man's outward appearance, you know, and they were drawing all kinds of conclusions. But he said, no, that's not what's going on. It's not this reason or that reason. Here's the big challenge today. If all you look at, if you don't have a basis of revelation to understand God and how much he loves you and how much he cares for you, if you don't have that, then when you look at things, the first thing you're going to say is one of two things. God doesn't care or God doesn't exist. And that's where our culture is today. That's definitely where it's heading. You have to have revelation, and that's what's so important to counter just looking at what seems to be obvious. And we have great revelation in the fact that we have the scriptures, we have the tradition of the church, the lives of the saints, and so much history. Because ever since day one, people have been asking the why question. We're not the first ones to ask that question, you know? And so what I want us to do is I'd like for us to look at some of the reasons why things happen beneath the surface, why they happen, and then how that we can boost our trust and confidence in God even more so today. The first reason why things happen as they do is the laws of nature. Ever since the universe was created by God, laws to govern nature were set in motion. We Catholics call those natural laws because that's what they are. They're natural. This is how things naturally work, you know? That's the way it works. And I like what Jesus had to say as he thought about natural, because a lot of times we think about natural disasters, don't we? Yeah. I like what he had to say in Matthew 5. He said this, God causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. That's interesting, isn't it? The second reason, and probably the most important reason, particularly in things that we would be thinking about today when we ask the why question, has to do with our freedom to choose. You're created in the image and likeness of God. That makes you special. No other creature on earth like you. You realize that, don't you? And what God has done is he's given you the ability to choose. Sometimes we don't choose the good way to go, do we? We've all made poor decisions. There's implications to that. I like what Sirach had to say. Sirach 15 says it perfectly. It says, before us are good and evil. Before us are good and evil. Whichever one chooses, it shall be given them. Your choices make a difference. God has nothing to do with that. You realize that, don't you? It's your choice. I think a third reason is religious persecution. This was particularly true in the New Testament time, especially after the birth of the church. Read the book of Hebrews. It's particularly focused on that. And listen to some of the reasons why things happen to people. because of religious persecution. It said, some faced jeers and flogging. They went about destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves. That's hard to believe that we'd do that today when we can just come freely worship. Do you realize what a gift you've got in this nation that you could come and freely worship? It truly is a gift. A fourth reason is for the greater good of the many. There's two obvious stories on that one when we think about it. The first was Joseph. Read the 50th chapter of Joseph, last chapter of Genesis. Joseph was sold into slavery. He was put into prison. He did all kinds of things. And finally, he was reunited with his brothers, and they reconciled with each other. But he had a unique perspective about what happened to them, what his brothers did to him, and how that worked out in the grander scheme of things. Because at that point, there was a great famine in the land, and the people of Israel were dying from drought and lack of food. So through these experiences, God's going to get them to Egypt, where they can find plenty of food. And given the fact that the number two guy in Egypt happens to be one of the great sons of in the tribe of Israel, I mean, that's pretty powerful. This is what he said. This is how Joseph figured it. He said, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done." Isn't that neat? How would you like to have that perspective? See, there's things going on in this world. There is no one answer, although that's what we like to do. And of course, the greatest example of the greater good is this guy over here. Why in the world did he have to do? Nobody deserved what he had to go through, yet he did it, didn't he? He suffered and died for you. That's what we're getting ready to remember here in just a few weeks, isn't it? Yeah, absolutely. Another reason is to glorify God. Isn't that what we see in the story today? You know, Jesus, they come across this guy that's been blind, and Jesus heals him, and the disciples and the Pharisees, they all are thinking. See, they had their preconceived notions. What was the notion? What was the question? Well, it's very pointed. They say, "Jesus, who sinned? What caused this man to be blind? What was the sin? Was it the sin of himself or was it the sin of his parents?" You know, they understood it then to be a sin, a punishment. Blindness was a punishment for sin. What did Jesus say? Neither. He said, neither one of those. What did he say? This was so that God could be glorified when he's healed. See, Jesus was ushering in the kingdom of God, and there were many great works and wonders and signs that would take place when the Messiah would show up. Here he is. He's doing it, isn't he? That's exactly what he's doing. And same thing with Lazarus. You know, they come to Jesus, and they say, Lazarus was Jesus' dear friend. And they say, "Lord, your friend's about to die. Come." Well, he had time to go, but what did he say? "I'll be there when I can get there." And he waits long enough for Lazarus to die. Now, why does he do that? Does he do it because he doesn't care? No. Well, he tells you why he does it. He tells the disciples. He says, "Lazarus' illness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." This was probably one of the premier things, the miracles that Jesus performed that glorified God. And it's why it would happen, it took place at the latter part of his ministry, because his ministry went viral after this. I mean, how many of you have raised somebody from the dead, especially after being dead for several days? Anybody ever done that? Man, his popularity went up out the door. But it was to glorify God, wasn't it? Another reason is growth and holiness. Why things happen. Let me ask you a question. You ever discipline your children? You ever do that? What if somebody came up to you today and say, "Don't ever discipline your children"? What would you think? Well, that's silly. I discipline them because I love them. And I want them to grow and be successful in life, right? What do you mean, tell me I shouldn't discipline my children? Have you ever thought that you're a child of God and God disciplines you? Well, it's true, isn't it? Why does he do it? So that you'll grow in holiness. That's exactly why he does it. What did Paul say in the 12th chapter of Hebrews? Do not make light of the Lord's discipline, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, so that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but it's painful. But later on, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace. That's pretty interesting, isn't it? I think it is. Just shows you, it's one more way God shows you how much he loves you, that he loves you enough to discipline you. Here's the problem we get into. It's very obvious that there's all kinds of reasons why things happen to good people. Good happens to good people. Bad happens to good people and vice versa and all that. There's all kinds of reasons. Here's the problem. We like to jump to conclusions and decide which one it is. Let me share with you a couple of quick thoughts about that. Unless God specifically sends an angel to tell you why he's doing something, you'll never know exactly for sure why what's happening to you. Now, Mary knew what was happening because the angel told her what was going to happen, right? That's exactly right. But that typically doesn't happen. But yet we're really good at judging other people. You don't. I know I'm not speaking to people that judge other people here today. I know you don't do that. But, for those your friends and stuff that might do it, we judge people is what we do. And we place our judgment on them. And we say, this is why this is happening to you. That's exactly right. Yesterday, I got 13 stitches in my hand. Well, why did that happen? Why did it happen? Was God disciplining me with that box cutter? Or was it so that he could be glorified in some way? Or was it just the natural laws of physics? Which one was it? I don't know. I do not know. I don't need to know. It doesn't matter. But if you see what you can do, if you keep looking at it and trying to figure it out, it goes out of control. You can't figure it out. It happened. That's all I can say, and I feel it today. You know, but here's the real challenge. Here's what I found as a priest. 9 out of 10 times, when I speak with someone who's trying to second guess why something happened, here's what they see it as. You know which one it is out of the ones I've told you? Punishment for sin. 9 out of 10. That's what it is. Just like what happened with the blind man today, wasn't it? Although the same people will say it's punishment for sin, although they don't have a clue what it was they committed. Do you see that? We're not God. But we like to play God sometimes, don't we? Especially those that like the Pharisees. They like to judge us, you know. Isn't that what the Pharisees and the disciples did? They just automatically assumed it was the man's sin. That's why he was born blind. Both Pharisees said it, and also the disciples themselves said it. But what was Jesus' response? It's neither. It's to glorify God. Well, they would never have figured that out, would they? Isn't that interesting? I want you to think about this. This is important, because I see this happen a lot. There is so much suffering in this world. Needless suffering. I think about the family, the blind man, and the blind man himself. So much suffering in the world because people tell you their opinion and what they think. This is what caused it. And then you believe it, and you walk around the rest of your life thinking, what sin did I do that caused this? I hear this a lot. And it's sad. Nobody knows. so much needless suffering that this family endured and this man for years, you know. Then Jesus says, what happens? Second thing is this. I think this is the most important thing. The saints realize that speculation is only partly satisfying, and it's not going to lead us to what we really want to know. What is it that we really need? Is it to know why, or is it just to know that we're still loved and we're encouraged? Well, I know which one it is. It's to know that we're still loved and encouraged. That's the important one. People ask the why question all the time. I don't know why. And I don't have to know, I don't need to know why in order to keep faith with God. I don't need to know why so that I don't say to myself, God doesn't exist anymore, or God doesn't care about me. He's far removed. I don't have to do any of that. I like what a guy said, Asaph. You ever heard of Asaph? He was the choir director during the time of David, and he wrote some of the Psalms and wrote the music that went with the Psalms. And here's what he said. I think it's interesting. This was his dilemma. He was trying to figure out why good things happen to bad people. You ever thought about that? Well, of course you have, many times. What did he say? This is right out of the scriptures. He said, when I tried to understand all of this, he's trying to figure it out. He said, it was oppressive to me. I couldn't figure it out. You know what? He says, as for me, it's good just to be near to God. That's his conclusion. See, I can still trust God. God's around. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. Isn't that powerful? God, that's powerful. Speculation, don't do it. Speculation was never the priority of the saints. They never speculated. They trusted God. They didn't lose their trust in God. They kept their faith strong in God. And I like how one of them put it. I think this is perfect. Do you need to know the chemistry of water before you can drink it? Do you need to know how a car works, how an engine works, before you can drive it? Do you? Well, of course you don't. You know, you don't. And just do it. That's what the saint said. Just drink from the fountain of God. You know what we call that? Faith. So take care not to foolishly entertain a crowd of anxious reflections which will entrap your mind into useless, endless wanderings. God bless all of you, and I love you.